22 and 23, location across of 3rd Avenue North, the Stallman building. The maintenance is smelling what he think is a dead person coming from inside the apartment. Fire department's en route.
On May 25th, 2016, a resident of an apartment building in downtown Nashville complained about a foul smell on the 9th floor. A maintenance worker named Catalina Moreno went up at 5:15 p.m. to determine the source. When Moreno got into the apartment, what he saw inside made him run out and call 911.
What's the exact location of your emergency?
My exact location is 211 Union at the Stallman. They said that it smelled like something died, and it smelled like it was coming from apartment 907. And I walked in there, opened a window, and I'm pretty sure that there may be somebody passed away on the bed back there.
You're doing the right thing.
The somebody was a 34-year-old woman named Lee Terry. Lee had not been heard from in almost 3 weeks before her body was discovered that day. She was found lying on her bed in a blue robe and a t-shirt. Her comforter was rumpled in a pile on the floor, and there was a bottle of Frejenet Cordon Negro champagne on the nightstand next to her. But Lee hadn't just died in her sleep. There was a gunshot wound to her right temple. In her hand was a Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 380, her finger still wrapped around the trigger. Her beloved Boston Terrier, Lana, was still alive. The dog was thin, but had survived in the apartment, and was calmly sitting on a pillow next to Lee when her body was found. After a 5-month investigation, Nashville police concluded that Lee's death was a suicide. But her friends and those who knew her well had questions. And so did I.
It all stems from allegations that emerged when Metro Police began investigating the death of a young woman
named Lee Terry. Police concluded she killed herself last spring.
Police ruled her death a suicide.
But what came out during the Metro Police investigation into Lee Terry's death has become a much bigger story.
Lee liked men that were powerful and that had money. And that's that.
Shortly after her arrest, she called her attorney, who had told her she'd gotten herself into big trouble and would now need to do something equally big to get herself out of it.
She said, "Well, I slept with a judge and I feel nasty."
This city has grown way too big, way too fast, and there's a lot of old issues and a lot of old problems and a lot of old things that take place behind closed doors that's just a gentleman's handshake, and that's gotta stop.
Once Upon a Time in Nashville, a new true crime series, available May 23rd, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Two Niche. I'm your host, Elizabeth Cott. This is the show where we pick a topic and we haul it. We haul it until it simply can no longer be hauled. The topics are all over the map. Sometimes it's product recommendations. Sometimes it's trends. Sometimes it's environmental issues. Sometimes it's pop culture. So it's really a representation of all the little corners of the internet you might find yourself in, but in audio form, so you can go ahead and do other things. That's really the goal here. So before we get into the haul, first, a thank you to everybody for such a warm reception, as last week I took over as the solo host, the solo hauler for this show. You all were so encouraging with DMs and reviews and messages, and I just really want to thank you for that, and also for signing up for the Two Niche mood board over on Substack. I had been really ideating on that for quite a while, and it was really cool to hear that it was something that you guys found helpful. So the whole idea with the Two Niche mood board is that is a place where we're housing links and visuals of anything that you might have heard in the episode. It'll show up in your inbox after the episode is released, and it's really just sort of like a fun kid sister piece of content to go along with the haul. Also, I have a winner for the sleep crown that we are giving away in honor of the Tunis Mood Board launch. So for those of you who have signed up and are within the United States, you're automatically entered to win an Elizabeth Traveler, which is the collab that I did with Sleep Crown. Sleep Crown is a really special niche sleep product. It's an over-the-head pillow. It's just an essential, cozy item. And the winner of that is Angela Sayer. Thank you so much for signing up. I've messaged you about your winning of this item. So mazel tov. And I am just going to take a quick sip of my Magic Mind. Magic Mind is what I drink during every recording, and usually when I'm sitting down to do any sort of work, and they happen to be a sponsor for today's episode as well. So we love when there's a synchronicity in something I love to use, and then they also want to help support the show. So thank you to them. Magic Mind is a delightful little matcha-based mental performance shot that comes with lion's mane, ashwagandha, L-theanine, turmeric, rhodiola, cordyceps, vitamins B2, B3, B12, C and D. Really, the gang's all here, and I just enjoy these. I tend to struggle with procrastination, and they help get rid of that. They get rid of brain fog. It helps me boost my motivation and focus, and I just want to thank them for helping to support my brain and support the show. They come in packs of 15 tiny bottles or 30, and if you use the code TUNISH20, you'll get 20% off your first order. So I'm going to link them in the description of this episode if you want to check them out. Thank you to Magic Mind. And in incredibly important news on the internet, Sonia Morgan finally sold her Upper East Side townhouse for $4.45 million after a two-week-long online auction. And I was riveted. And, you know, I always love a good headline to enter us into a haul. And so today, we are hauling Real Housewives houses. Now, to join me for said haul, I had to call upon my personal design correspondent, who I guess is now Tunisha's personal design correspondent. I have Sarah Weichel of the LA-based design firm Swike Designs joining me. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here ranking Real Housewives homes. By the way, that is such a tongue twister. We're going to need to, hopefully throughout this episode, we'll get progressively better at saying housewife homes.
And the thing about a housewife, they always come with a house, whether it's a rental flex specifically for the show, whether it's a inherited in a divorce, whether, you know, there's always a story with the home itself. Mm. And there's a lot to haul. We had to whittle it down.
We did. I mean, in the research that I've done to be here today, I have to say this is some of the most exciting and invigorating work I've done in my career to date. So I can't wait to jump in.
And you yourself are a massive Housewives fan. So this really is merging your two pillars of expertise, really. So it's an honor to have you.
I am nothing if not a Bravo head. So I can't wait. Thank you for having me. And all interior design business is on hold until we get through today's episode.
Also, a really fun fact about Sarah and myself. Sarah's previous career was that of a talent manager. And I met her back in my styling era
Yep. And I would style a bunch of your clients. I then became one of your clients when I began my podcasting era. And then you did one of my favorite things that everybody who's anybody did during 2020 was a massive career pivot.
Yes, you're right. This is all true. We've known each other for such a long time. I'm so excited to be here on your new journey with Tuneesh. And the career episode reminded me of a lot of moments we've had.
I know. It's really cool to always, you know, meet each other in these various times in our life or continue our friendship throughout all these times in our life. But also, fun fact, the Elizabeth Cott HQ, which consists of me and my laptop, is based in the Swike Design offices for the summer. And it's just really fun. We get to hang out all the time. So
yeah, come hang out with us in Silver Lake. The Silver Lake Intelligentsia is where you can find us not doing work, procrastinating on the work that we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. So that's just some backstory on me and Sarah's lore for everybody. But as I mentioned, Sonia Morgan, the townhouse sale, this was huge news. And I guess where better to start than with the lady who's the straw that stirs the drink, Sonia Morgan. Let's talk a little bit about this Upper East Side townhouse that has been such, I think when we think housewives houses, this is a main story.
Absolutely. I mean, if I were Sonia, I would have started renting this thing out years ago for Bravo watch parties. But here we are. The day has finally come. After more than 2 years of being on the market, we officially have a buyer. As you mentioned, 2-week online auction resulted in a $4.45 million sale. Unfortunately, I think it was first listed in 2013 for about double, $9.95 million, and then continued to go down and then relisted earlier this year for $7.5 million and finally sold at $4.45, which unfortunately we can really only assume is indicative of the state of the property.
Yeah, rumor on the internet is that it was not in the best shape, which I think we saw, you know, little bits and pieces of that way back when on the show. Also, in my research, which I hadn't realized until the greats over at TikTok pointed this out, it's next door to a public parking structure.
Yes. I mean, she also refers to it as her Upper East Side townhome. And after some light Google stalking, I would say it's closer to like Sutton Place on like 63rd and 3rd. So beautiful area, only a stone's throw away from the park. But Upper East Side townhome, technically true, adjacent to parking garage and really closer to the Lenox Hill Sutton Place area.
Also, so her husband was the great grandson of JP Morgan, hence the Morgan of it all. He purchased this home in 1998 for $9.1 million. It's 4,500 square feet. That equates to around $17 million in present day. With appreciation.
Ooh, tough.
Which is a very, very tough thing to swallow. And I think that, you know, they say location, location, location when it comes in the real estate world. And I'm thinking the parking structure might have had a little bit to do with it. I really wish that Bravo or NBC Universal would have gotten the funds together, purchased, and made this a Bravo museum.
Absolutely.
And then they have parking. It's perfect.
Absolutely. Bravo really should have stepped in here. I think letting this beautiful townhome go for $4.5 million and not establishing it as a historical landmark in the Bravo universe is certainly a missed opportunity. But there are some really good things I think we should acknowledge about the townhome. One, it is a 5-story townhome, which is pretty remarkable. I mean, that is giving opulence, it's giving drama, it's giving glam, it's giving old money. And all of those things I really love about the townhome.
And in general.
And broadly speaking, but certainly as it relates to Sonia Morgan's townhome. Here's the other thing that I love about it. She's definitely, this townhome has undergone at least one renovation that I know of, if not more. And she chose to protect some of the more historical architectural elements in the townhome. And I think good on Sonia for that. You know, there are other housewives, not naming names at this point in the episode. However, stick around for 10 minutes later and then I will certainly be naming names. But there are other housewives in the Bravo universe that would have ripped all of this beautiful parquet flooring and marble fireplace mantles and like ripped that all out, painted it white and called it modern and contemporary. And Miss Morgan did not do that. And we have to give her some credit for that.
She said, don't touch the Morgan letters and don't touch the marble.
The Morgan mantle.
Exactly.
Period.
End of story. I also really, really love the courtyard in this space. Oh.
So, okay. Have you ever lived in New York?
I haven't, no.
I've never lived in New York either. I'm sure someone who's listening to this show will certainly let us know. But my wife let me know that you don't want yard space in the city typically because of like rats and pests.
Oh.
Which seems wrong to me. If I have a five-story townhouse, I'm getting a garden. I would like to have a garden party at my five-story townhome personally.
But absolutely. And also, she had to have a little place for... I love Sonia because she's a fellow red mini poodle owner. And Milu needed a place to go to the bathroom.
Of course. Of course. Let us not forget Milu, the golden, what is it? Like a poodle?
A red mini poodle.
A red mini poodle.
Yeah.
So the garden is certainly another huge win for me with the townhome. I mean, I'm not totally up to speed on the rodents infestation that happens in Manhattan, but the pictures make it look great.
Yes. And also 4.45 is not anything to, you know, scoff at. That's still a good amount of money. Hopefully it goes directly into Sonia's pockets and she can continue, you know, doing her thing with Lou on some like fun, simple life-esque type of show. I would
absolutely
really enjoy that. I think I'm going to give Sonia Morgan's Sutton Place townhouse that is parking garage adjacent, I'm going to give it a B, but I'm going to up it to a B plus because of its iconic status.
I actually agree with you. I'm going to give the infamous townhome a BB plus because it's giving old money. We love a five-story townhome. And frankly, whoever can afford it, good for you. I'm not knocking a five-story townhome. I'm in no position to do that. But I will say some points off for the decor. It did feel a little bit like we needed a refresh on some of the decor elements. Specifically, I'm not in love with the carpet runner that runs up the stairs. And while the primary bedroom, four-post king-size bed was a big statement, it's not for me. There's a lot of ruching and satin involved. It feels a little too stuffy for my taste. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I'm going B plus, and mostly because of the furnishings.
Okay, you couldn't be more opposite day with this next one. Dorit Kemsley's Encino home. And I'm excited to hear what you have to say about this because I know how much you loathe an open floor plan. So thoughts, feelings?
It's true. When thinking of Housewives Home, certainly PK and Dorit's Encino home is up there. For me, this is one of the bigger disappointments. on my list, both from an aesthetic standpoint and certainly from a safety standpoint.
Of course.
So I would say overall, the Encino modern farmhouse era is not specific, it's not something that appeals to me. But there are some fun facts about it. They purchased the home in 2019 for just under $6.5 million. It's a 9,000 square foot monstrosity, if you ask me.
One room.
It's a 9,000 square foot home, 7,000 of which is one single room. No, I'm kidding. It's 6 bedrooms, 10 baths. And as mentioned, it is in the design style of a modern farmhouse.
I have a question here for you. This, to me, the modern farmhouse trend, if you will, one through line that we are all witnessing is these black windows.
Okay.
Can I, what is your take? What is the Swike design POV when it comes to a black, what is it, casing of the window? What's the professional term here? What are we doing here?
This is such an important question, and I'm so glad that you've asked it. Here's what I will say. If you're going to do a modern farmhouse, first of all, there's only one architect to hire, and that is Howard Backen, who will give you the correct version of a modern farmhouse as featured in Architectural Digest, vis-a-vis Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. He is the GOAT at the modern farmhouse and has been for since before it was a trend that we saw on Bravo. As it relates to black casings, I don't mind steel windows. So if your windows and doors are actually made of steel, that's when we see kind of this like black harsh juxtaposition come into play. I cannot stand painting the casing of your window black for the purposes of like resale to make it look as though your home is modern. That makes no sense to me. And to all the real estate agents that may be listening out there, can we just agree to stop doing that? That would be telling the homeowner to paint the inside of the home Swiss coffee and the casings of the windows, regardless of design aesthetic, pitch black, is not really working. And it doesn't make the home look like a modern farmhouse. It just makes it look like a cheap flip. So it's a very important question. As it relates to the Encino home, Dory and PK's Encino home, probably they had real steel windows. So it bothers me less. It offends me less if the windows are actually made of steel.
I truly hate this house. There's something about it that looks like Amazon Prime Day. And I think for someone like Dorit, who's so focused on aesthetics and pulling a look together, the house just like didn't do that in a way that excites me at all.
Oh, no, I couldn't agree with you more. It's like we're going to be turning out full head-to-toe Chanel fits, and then we're going to be moving into what I can only equate to like millennial Pottery Barn version of a home. It makes no sense. So, Dury, if this gets to you, call me next time. We'll do a better version.
I actually,
whatever that is,
enjoy Dury as a housewife. She's one of my favorite smoking housewives. If you haven't listened to the Real Housewives Smoker episode, that's a great sister episode to this one. Dorit's on my top for the smokers, but she's gets a D for the home.
As it relates to a grade for Encino, it didn't come through on the fashion and it didn't come through on the function for me. So I'm going D.
D for Dorit. Okay, we are moving to another city, another state. We've got Mary Crosby's Salt Lake City abode. This one is, I think, the most unique when it comes to home furnishings of the list. And I was truly shocked when I was reviewing photos of this home. Obviously, we had Heather, you know, comment on how exciting of an experience it was to be asked to marry Crosby's household, and like the experience of getting to actually see it in person. This house has two living rooms. Off the bat, I just need to flag that. Also, when we first saw Mary, I think like season one, the kitchen was like a honey wood color. And then she decided to just change that and go with a Tiffany blue cabinetry painted over the honey wood throughout the kitchen.
This is so important to me. When talking about housewives' homes, there's one scene specifically that sticks out to me over any other, and that is Mary Cosby's Tiffany blue painted kitchen cabinetry. It is jarring, to say the least. And but that's not really where the fashion house theme stops. It continues. I don't know. Did you ever see the Chanel pillow? That's
sure did. There's pillows, plural. And we know Chanel is very famous for their pillows.
I can't say those were purchased from Chanel, but yet there is a strong brand. The brand is strong throughout the home.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
At Planet Fitness, a lot has changed since 1998, but our membership has always been just $10 a month. On June 28th, that rate will increase to $15 a month for new members. So if you've been thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to lock in $10 a month for good. Once you join, your rate will never increase for the life of your membership. Enjoy free fitness training and equipment for every workout, all in the judgment-free zone for $10 a month. Don't miss out. Offer ends Thursday, June 27th. Rejoining after cancellation will result in change in membership price. See club for details.
Also, a strong design point throughout is incredibly like regally influenced furniture. It's a lot of throne looking furniture, very similar to who's not mentioned on this list, but I have to give an honorable mention to Jennifer Aiden's house when she first joined the Housewives and had a lot of furniture that looks like thrones. This is actually a through line in a lot of housewives' homes. And a lot of these women are like royalty. So I get it. But I was like, it gives Z Gallery to me. But I looked and Z Gallery didn't even have these chairs.
To paint a picture for the listener, it is adult throne, but there's some kind of like almost over the head element. It's like
hooded.
It's hooded is it's the only way.
Then there are also throne inspired chairs in the kitchen that are multicolored.
Oh, the bar stools?
No, there's maybe it's in the dining room. I don't know. I just saw a picture of all of the multicolored thrones that look custom, really. Which
certainly
is cool, but it is truly a shock.
I believe that if someone were to want to procure this set of chairs, it would in fact need to be custom, because I can't imagine why these would be reproduced en masse. It is a very specific look, and yet somehow multiple housewives have this throne-esque chair happening. So
also specific that we can't overlook is the coffee table books that are standing up straight on the coffee table as opposed to being laid flat. I myself have never seen that before, but it bears mentioning. Yeah.
Honestly, it's inspiring. It is important. It's inspirational. It's if there's one thing Mary Cosby does, it's she marches to the beat of her own drum, as made evident in the coffee table styling, and good for her. So what are you rating it?
I mean, I gotta kind of give it a B just because there's so wow. much to unpack. Not for my taste at all, but it just like adds so much color. Tiffany Blue in particular, to Mary herself. And I just really, in doing all of this research, I've just enthralled with where these women live, I think speaks so much to who they are. And it's very that. So
you're giving B.
I'm giving it a B, but also a D. You know what I mean?
I totally know what you mean. And which is a great segue into my rating, which is a unfortunately, it's a C. And I hear what you're saying. She is committed to the bit. And if there's one thing that we know about Mary, it's that she loves her fashion. Whether or not she is fashionable is somewhat subjective. And I think the same goes with the house. I wouldn't say it's anything that I would ever do or aspire to do, but it is representative of her. And I'm giving it a C.
Okay. I love that. We split the difference on that. Okay. We're going back to California now for Heather Dubrow's Dubrow Chateau. They did a $21 million remodel. It's a 22,000 square foot home. If we remember to OC, I know you're not an OC girly, which
yes. I'm, so let me say, I just to jump in, I'm not a big on OC, but when thinking of housewife's homes, even I knew that this was going to be one of them. I had heard so much about it.
They bought this in 2013, but I think like what is, which no other housewife has done, Heather left the show while they were remodeling it. And she says, I don't need Andy and a camera. In fact, I will bring in my own cameras and we will create a web series called Welcome to Our Home that I am currently on episode 3 of, and I shall be watching the entire thing.
It's reportedly a $21 million remodel.
Yes. But then they sold the house for $55 million.
So here's something about home renovations. That $21 million remodel, that's all cash, baby. $21 million cash on hand to put toward a primary residence for a remodel is inspiring. And that is going to significantly affect my grading because
okay.
good for her. That's real wealth right there.
Nothing says wealth like a custom etched Tree of Life feature. In glass in your home. You know what I mean? Like that there said, we need people to know that we've spent here and we're going to do so with custom glasswork etching. Also, speaking of the throne hooded chairs, they have them in this foyer and I just am very confused. The entire design aesthetic looks like it's in like a fancy hotel, but like a businessman's hotel. Like it just, or like an airport. It's so confusing to me.
100% it's giving Las Vegas hotel foyer and Restoration Hardware showroom combined. There is something terrible happened with the furnishings and the decor.
And the lighting.
I mean, lighting can be hard, I have to say. You know, you can easily get swept up in the amount of glass or you know, crystals that are infiltrating your chandelier. So I can see where maybe she went wrong there, but the entry sitting chairs in the foyer are
a tough scene. Yeah, no,
they're unforgivable.
It's upsetting. And then, so after they sold for $55 million, using Josh Altman, by the way, another more extended Bravoverse fodder for the fans to enjoy. They went ahead and they bought a $14 million penthouse in Los Angeles designed by Roberto Cavalli.
Of course.
Roberto Cavalli for apartment.
So I have always wondered who the demo is for the Roberto Cavalli apartment licensing deal. And now we know. It makes all the sense in the world. That is exactly who it should be. So
I have to give this grade. And just to say, I think we're just grading. I'm personally grading on just the delight that it brings me. Not so much would I want to live there or copy the aesthetic in any capacity. The delight that this brings me is at a B plus, A minus level.
I have to tell you, I am right there with you. It brings me a full A.
Oh, okay.
Because you know what? I respect any housewife with that kind of money who sees an opportunity and wants to go for it and puts, she says it with her whole chest. I mean, she gave us an 8-part web series on this house. So she is writing for her home. She loves her home. And as someone who works in the design world, you go, Heather Dubrow. I am here to champion that kind of commitment.
Okay, next we have more of like a concept in the Bethany Frankel real estate portfolio universe.
Maybe we say this one is an honorable mention. I mean, when pulling together our all of the housewife homes that we had to choose from, it got pretty difficult. And I don't think this list would be complete without the mention of Bethany. But it was a little bit difficult to pin down exactly which one of the homes in the real estate portfolio to dissect. So today we're just giving an honorable mention, really a nod to Bethany Frankel's real estate portfolio at large.
And I think too, as a one-time big Bethany fan who personally I found my voice with her during the Bethany Ever After 3-season series, which started as Bethany getting married, and then we got 2 seasons of Bethany Ever After. It's on Peacock. If I would imagine everyone listening has probably seen it, but if you haven't seen it, it is some of the best reality TV ever, because basically she goes from this like very run-of-the-mill kind of sad New York City, very just like plain disgusting couch apartment to selling her liquor concept and becoming a millionaire and buying her first apartment in her 40s. And just like the come up with the cameras present was so enthralling to watch, really. And it made me such a fan of hers, and it was so inspiring. And I think as Roni watchers, we got her $5.5 million Hamptons house, which we saw that was very skinny girl coded. There's just like that skinny girl red sort of everywhere, which I'm like, how do I implement like the Toonish neon green into my life? You know,
wait. Do we think that it was just for the cameras that there was like the red through line in the decor, or do we think that that's always there?
It's always there. For sure. It's still there. I think that it was also a branding exercise, because I think everything with Bethany is a branding exercise. And that's actually one of the things I respect about her. In 2017, she had purchased a $4.2 million, 4,400 square foot loft it was very industrial looking. I don't know if you remember this in particular. And it had those kind of partition walls that didn't go all the way up to the ceiling, that sort of thing. It was very sort of like grayish interiors.
Mm-hmm. Is this the one that had some neon signage?
Yes. The neon sign said, "Know it all."
Perfect.
Yeah.
I was hoping it was going to say that. If you're going to have neon signage in your primary residence and not a commercial space, let it at least be your catchphrase that you've bestowed upon yourself.
Absolutely. So that house that she purchased for $4.2 million, she ended up selling it for just under $7 million in 2022.
Bethany Frankel really is the American dream. It's like were rags to riches, and all the while there are cameras.
Exactly. And then she just bought a new Southampton home that's 3,500 square feet, four bedroom, four bath, wood interior, ocean view, and a pool that she has been walking us through on TikTok. All of this I sort of know against my will a little bit, but it does look really nice, I will say.
My For You page has not given me the gift that is Bethany Frankel's Hamptons home, but I do love a wood paneling moment. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and rate Bethany Frankel Real Estate Portfolio the American Dream an A.
Yeah, it's an A for aspirational.
A for aspirational, A for effort, and A for really teaching us millennials how to get off our ass and do the damn thing. So good for her.
From Bethany to Rinna, we have to talk about Lisa Rinna's Beverly Hills house because
it's kind of a sleeper, but I think it's very important to mention Lisa Rinna's Beverly Crest ranch style home, which has given us so many memories. But perhaps the most important memory for me is this trip down memory lane in the kitchen aesthetic, which if you haven't seen if you haven't seen Lisa Rinna's kitchen recently, it is stuck in 2001 Italian Tuscan kitchen motif. And I'm talking honey color wood. I'm talking infused olive oil that has some kind of fruit in it that's on the top cabinet. I'm talking ceramic rooster.
I actually think that that's a horse.
Oh, okay. So what?
Upon further inspection.
Because why are we doing roosters for so long?
I was going to ask you what the thing with the rooster was.
I can't say that I was, in fact, that will be my homework assignment. I will go back and try to uncover what this like late 90s, early aughts mother source obsession with bottled vegetables in olive oil, dried hanging chilies, and ceramic roosters. What was happening there?
I think and this speaks to the modern farmhouse trend as well. I think there's always like, once you have money, you like crave like a farm aesthetic in one way or another. And I think like the ceramic rooster evokes that for people, as well as a, you know, lemon infused oil as decor. Like it's just sort of like brings you to a place of like Barefoot Contessa or something. I don't know, but it needs to be studied.
Right. If you can't actually live an authentic Barefoot Contessa lifestyle, then at least you can have a ceramic rooster in your kitchen and it will give you the feeling of this idyllic farm life.
I do think it's a fun fact that Harry Hamlin built this house himself in 1986 and then Lisa moved in 1997. They got married in the backyard. It's 4,000 square feet, five bedroom, four bath, an Italian Tuscan motif. And they did, it's Venetian plaster walls, terracotta floors. I love that the Venetian plaster was executed way back when, then cycled out of fashion and cycled back in all while they're still living there. I think that that is great. Sometimes you just got to hold on. You got to just like hold on to the thing, you know?
Yeah. The Venetian plaster hasn't left for those who live in an authentic Spanish revival, Spanish colonial home. And so good for them. That is like very in line with the architectural style of the home that they purchased. So for that, they're getting, again, like a pretty high rating in my book. I'm going B+.
I got to give it a a B only because there was a little bit of a tidbit that came out, which production leaked that the house is like not well kept. And apparently there was like a crazy like rat infestation, which I think she mentioned on the show, but it's, and listen, I have been there. It is not something that one like voluntarily acquires. A rat issue is, you know, no judgment. But I just thought it was like a funny tidbit when researching Lisa Rinna's Beverly Hills home. This is what comes up, is that like it's not well maintained.
Wow.
That's on Harry, I guess.
That's so messy of production. But that's so messy of production. But I have to say that is important. I mean, in the age of content creation, we need to know the truth behind
exactly.
The camera.
So, and we're okay. Nothing but hard hitting over here for this topic.
We're journalists.
Yeah, hugely.
Okay. Well, we would be remiss to talk about Lisa without talking about her counterpart, Erica Jayne.
That's right. Whew.
So this is a home that immediately came to mind for me when the assignment was Housewife Homes. I mean, Erica Jayne's Pasadena home, the lore, the history, the drama, the scandal,
repo.
The repo. The snow.
Yeah.
Here's a little bit about it. It was purchased. When was it built? Oh, it was originally built in 1928 and purchased by Tom in 1980, 10,000 square feet. She's pretty stunning. That backyard where the fountain runs from like the house to the pool. They just don't make them like they used to, folks. That is some historic 1920 Art Deco, Art Nouveau design. And it's pretty, she's pretty ornate. She's like, she's old money. She's got an in-home chapel. We've got millwork for days. She's gorgeous.
I would say the outside is stunning. They have basically like a fountain that runs through the back all the way down to the pool. It has that like palatial Pasadonian aesthetic. The inside for me looks like he decorated it when he moved in and then just never touched it again, which I understand. He was busy. He was preoccupied scamming people. So allegedly. So I want to shout out this creator, Katie, who I found on TikTok, who I'll link in the Toonish mood board on Substack. She did a real nice deep dive on this house. And she pointed out how one of the bathrooms has upholstered red silk walls above the tub. I hate that. I truly hate that. Why?
If there's one thing that we've learned today, it's that Elizabeth's design aesthetic is not traditional. We know this for sure. We don't like traditional or classical lines or silhouettes on furnishings.
I'm sorry, but like silk and steam to me is like a mold problem.
I hear you. That feels like an odd choice for a bathroom, and certainly not something that I have ever learned is a like design 101 go-to. But again, it is like really indicative. Like if you have the budget to put silk in the bathroom, we're on a whole other level of wealth there.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying it's giving we have so much money, we are putting silk in the bathroom.
But so this house was then, after, you know, all the Tom Girardi drama was revealed, it was listed in 2021 for $13 million and then experienced 5 price cuts and then went into foreclosure and then sold for $8
million. So sad.
Yeah.
Because this home, architecturally speaking, you mentioned the exteriors. The exteriors are truly stunning. The garden is so well maintained and manicured. And The interiors, architecturally speaking, are equally stunning. In that dining room, I don't know if you recall, but they have like the hand-painted motif in the yellow dining room. Like, that's not wallpaper. In the townhome, in Sonia Morgan's townhome, she put like a de Gournay wallpaper in that room. And this is a hand-painted motif. That is like real money. And the millwork, the like wood cladding down the halls in the main office, just throughout really is like so indicative of the time and the era in which the house was made. Parquet flooring, again, like the detail and the architectural elements of this home is giving real money. And that is just so stunning. We have so few homes like this left, I guess.
It's expensive to be this house.
It's truly so expensive to be this house.
Scamming widows and orphans aside,
sure,
I will give this home a B+. An A-.
An important correction, because I'm about to give this home an A+, minus the furnishings. This is like a dream home for me. The furnishings, we have to look aside.
Elsewhere. We got to remodel.
I agree with you. The furnishings could have been adjusted.
Yes. Okay. Next, we're going back to the East Coast for Carol Radswell's Manhattan apartment. We're not going to spoil it, but I love this apartment.
Yay. I love this apartment too. I'm glad we're aligned on this one.
Me too.
As soon as we got the shot of her opening her apartment door, and in her little entryway, there is a Mark Phillips lined rivet grass cloth wallpaper and the stunning Geoponte Italian vintage mirror. And there's a gallery wall done, but in like a very artful way. Gallery walls can be really tough. Like, I can't get into the Kardashian gallery wall, but I am very into the Carol Radswell version of gallery wall that truly like pays homage to history, family, and is like more of an eclectic hodgepodge. It's worth a look up the Architectural Digest feature. I think there's a really
we will
out of the entryway.
We will include it in the mood board for sure. There will be imagery and links so you can, you know, experience the full sensory experience of these homes. I have to say A+ entryway. I think it's so stunning. It's such a great use of space. I like, you know, obviously her home being in Manhattan, every square foot counts in terms of how you use it. And I think having sort of like this really special, interesting entryway, you're immediately walking into something special.
Yeah, it's like sexy and moody. And I think the natural instinct with small spaces is to go light and bright. Like, oh, no, don't notice that it's small. It's just like make it white and bright. But actually, she leaned into like how moody and dark and intimate the space is. And I think it's a 10 out of 10 for me.
And then she has this classic heirloom from her mother-in-law, Lee Radswell, which was iconic. This couch that was pretty much deteriorated. And she decided when she remodeled the apartment or redesigned the apartment, rather, she went with like a light blue velvet that I think is so gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I think the update that she did on the space as a whole, for the most part, was really stunning. I mean, it was stunning enough to get its own AD feature. So we love that. I have to comment on the death stairs, the banisterless death stairs. It's like, you know, you're cool when you're like, you could die here. It's fine. I don't care. It looks cool. So whatever.
Just to circle back to the sofa for a second. I was so sad that she reupholstered that sofa, because that Scalamandre tiger print was so gorgeous to me. And also, this is my hot take, my design tip 101, is that I think that leopard print and tiger can be neutrals.
I like that.
Saying. they can, I think that they can be neutral. They can be neutral. And I loved it when it was that, when it was that tiger print. I was sad to see it go to the Lee Jaffa velvet, just because it felt like of all the housewives, Carol had the personality and the like pizzazz to own that. Mm-hmm. But eventually, like, still walked away with a beautiful.
Yeah, I think when she went sort of for, like, as you mentioned, the tiger print, but then there was like kind of like a, it gets like goldish yellow carpet beforehand and the mm-hmm. dark wood floors, and it just sort of the update into like keeping the dark wood accents, but then going into like the world of like light blues and dark blues, it just really elevated it. And I know you and I are on the same page here. I know it's a little controversial, but I think Carol's one of the best housewives we've ever had. She's certainly the most interesting, with the most interesting backstory. And she had the best outfits and she was cool. And honestly, when it was Bethany versus Carol, I was team Carol.
Same. I was just going to say, I think Carol walked so Jenna could run.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Architectural Digest features.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But I'm like, is Jenna running? I don't know if I'm personally not sure about this reboot that we got, but that's a completely different haul. We need to move over to Carol's bedroom redesign, where she went with like a blush tone pink and like a gray.
Okay, so this is where things took a turn for me. As an interior designer, I sense what happened, or I like to pretend that what happened here is like, everything was going so well. And then they got to her bedroom and Carol was like, I want this. Like, you know, you start with like the living room and the entryway and the kitchen. And it's like, yes, yes, yes. And then inevitably what happens by like month 7 of concept design, the client starts to think that they also can do the design. And I feel like this is what happened, is that like her and the designer were so in sync until they got to the bedroom and Carol was like, I have the vision for this room, I'm gonna do it. And this is where things went a little south for me. There's like specifically for me, yes, the color story is a problem, but also the 3D printed butterfly art.
That's the only part I like.
But she's like 50. An adult,
I know. Yeah. I don't know why, but I'm like, that's fine. But the bed itself, like, is like 2 steps away from being Northwest bedroom.
No. Not Northwest. Yeah. Shoot. Okay, so this, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think we're on the same page here. We were going really strong, and then something happened with the bathroom and the bedroom and the closet. And at least it's her own personal space. That's how I'm going to defend this. At least we can shut the door and it's more of a private space than a public space. So again, it wouldn't have been my first choice for her, but
that's a good way of looking at it. I'm still going to give this one an A because I personally would love to live there and I'm delighted by it. And, you know, personal preference as a Carol head.
I'm going to go A minus only because I totally appreciate what they did, but I really respected how eclectic the apartment was before. And I feel like we lost it a little bit.
Okay. I respect that. Speaking of Architectural Digest, we would be remiss not to spend just like 2 seconds on Kathy Hilton's house at Christmas, which is what then garnered her an AD feature, which I have now have a new goal unlocked, and that where it once was to be invited to the Kris Jenner Christmas party, I've now pivoted to the Kathy Hilton Christmas pajama party that she throws every year.
So important, and I'm so glad that you brought this up. Are we ranking or are we just acknowledging?
I think it's just a nod. It's mm-hmm. it's a hunky-dory nod.
It's a hunky-dory nod. It's we can't not address it. The Kathy Hilton house, I mean, the amount of Christmas trees, it's like the goddamn North Pole. And I love anyone who leans into theme. So
yeah, it's just it's an A for
commitment,
aspirational. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like way to get that Arc Digest feature.
Yep.
Festive.
I know that I might lose some people here, but bear with me. Next on my housewife list is Kyle Richards' Bel Air ranch style home. So this is like season two to I think five Kyle Richards. It's the one with the like brick exterior. It's single story. It's ranch style. It's also the one famously that Sutton Strack ended up renting from them.
You know who rented it before Sutton Strack?
Who?
Jessica Chastain.
Really?
Yes. Fun fact. She said that on Watch What Happens Live.
That is a fun fact. I can see why. I think this house has a lot of, it feels very like a quintessential LA historical Hollywood Hills to me. And it has great curb appeal.
You know what it reminds me of from the front is the Father of the Bride house.
Exactly. It's like, okay, so here's a traditional exterior that Kot can get into.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just maybe it's more the furnishings that we're having a hard
time with. I like the exterior of the Girardi house too. I like things to just be a little bit updated.
Okay. I see you. So back to the Kyle Richards Bel Air house. Here's where things go a little bit wrong for me. And this is once we get inside of the home. The interiors, famously, spearheaded by none other than Faye Resnick herself. And
the morally corrupt Faye Resnick. The interior morally corrupt Faye Resnick.
Excuse me, how dare I? Yes, of course. And if we weren't sure about the morally corrupt piece before, I do think that the interiors that she did to this poor, beautiful, historic home certainly cement her as corrupt in one way, shape, or form. And I think we have to start with the foyer of this home. There is a checkered board flooring motif. It is a white and black marble floor scheme that certainly does not go with the style of this home at all, but is also consistent in almost every Kardashian home. And is it also in her Encino home that she just
Yes, but it was purchased with that, but we'll get there in a second.
Okay.
An interesting thing about this Bel Air house, you know, as we said, it was being rented for a while, and it sold for $6.1 million to an influencer, and this influencer and her husband were remodeling it, and apparently the internet was like coming for them to the point where Kyle had to make a post asking people to be nice and to stop harassing them for their design choices, because they took it to a place of like Kardashian modern. Mm-hmm. What's the
do you think the
industry term
involved?
I don't think she's involved in this one, because I don't think she had her hands on that like minimalist stone tone.
We've moved past the Faye Resnick era, thank God.
Yeah.
But this black and white, I know what you're talking about, this like black and white modern contemporary aesthetic that kind of came out of the Kardashians. I don't know. I would call it like contemporary glam.
So they then purchased in 2017 their house in Encino, which is a true mansion. It is, I think, from the outside, again, curb appeal. This place is stunning.
Yeah.
They bought it for $8.2 million. It was built in the 1920s. It's over 10,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms. Again, we've got the marble check floor. But here's where I really need to focus on, because it's always like, why is there like a pink glow happening?
I knew you were going here. Yeah.
Again, in the foyer, Kyle, it says There's a neon sign. Uh-huh. It says, bitch, please, exclamation point. You could never be me. And that's a tough one for me.
Yeah. The neon signs, I would say, broadly speaking, if nothing comes of this episode, other than I hope that we decide neon signs are no longer for us. We should not be doing them anymore. I don't care if it's an office space and if it's your, certainly not if it's your primary residence. The neon signage is not meant for the inside of your home. I think it needs to die. That's my hot take. Unless it's like a Tracy Emin piece or like a James Turrell piece, a la Kendall Jenner. Everyone's seen the Kendall Jenner home.
Sure.
I'm sure. But that's like if you have the money for a James Turrell, then that's one thing. Or even a Tracy Emin, that's one thing. But can we please stop making up our own catchphrases and then getting a neon sign made? I don't know why we're doing this. We have to stop.
It's giving madness. Like restaurant rehab in Silver Lake. Like if you've opened a restaurant and you are trying to attract a millennial customer, you put in a neon sign.
Yeah,
and
it's well done.
I have trouble with all of that. And also honorable mention to the pool house sign in Kyle's home that says, if you don't like animals, get out. Something to think about.
Wow. Is it also neon?
Yeah. Blue. I have to give the Kyle and Mo real estate portfolio. Oh, also honorable mention to their Aspen home that we saw on the show that literally while prepping for this haul went on the market. So that's very too niche effect of us. And it must be mentioned. But all in all, I think I got to give them that Bel Air house was special. Yeah. And I love a glow up. So I'm going to give it an A-.
That's generous. I think for me, good for Mo for having access to some of the most amazing properties in this city. However, that's literally his job. And the interiors and furnishings are more of a reflection of them and their taste. And I just can't get behind any of it. So I'm giving him a B.
I actually want to change my grade because I didn't think about the interior design choice, which is obviously a big vertical in the grading process, and I don't like any of it, so it's going to be a C.
Yeah. Wow.
I know. I just really brought it down because I just had a flash of that pink neon sign, and I was like, never mind, never mind.
That was a fast fall from grace for the Richards family.
I know. Okay. We are nearing the end. We have two more.
Perhaps these two most important.
Yeah. Crucial. And it's hard to even pick which order to say it in, so while we're in California, we'll stay in California and we're visiting Villa Rosa.
Absolutely. Villa Rosa, to be honest, for me is the number one housewife home. And it was a tight race between number one and number two for me. I think you and I are divided on this, but for me, Villa Rosa is number one. And here's why. Couple of fun facts about Villa Rosa. It was purchased by Lisa Vanderpump and Ken in 2011, and it's located in the heart of Beverly Hills. Did they purchase it for $12 million, or they purchased it for, or is it now current?
There's some conflicting facts around, I think they purchased it for 10.2, but it might now be worth 12 million. There was just a few. The info is not clear.
Well, what is clear is that it's 8,000 square feet on 2 acres of land in Beverly Hills, which is unheard of. The view and the lot size is iconic. 5 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms. She has multiple water features. Yeah, she has
a moat. We must start there.
She has a moat. She has swans. She, unlike our other housewife, Lisa Rinna, actually has animals on her property.
Yeah, she actually has a farm. She doesn't need the farmhouse aesthetic because she just has an actual farm.
Because she actually put the miniature ponies. It is iconic. I don't know. The interior design, maybe you speak on the interior designer for a bit, because I'm going to be too...
Okay. Imagine this. You've got mirrored furniture, a lot of white lacquer.
Will you speak to who the interior designer was?
Well, we have Nick Elaine, who famously has partnered with her on the interior design for all of the Vanderpump-owned locations, which I encourage you guys to another sister episode to this could be the Vanderpump City Guide, which we get into all of the Vanderpump locations. And Nick Elaine is really famous for his use of Edison bulbs, his use of floral into the lighting, and then also like rhinestones. But so it's like this industrial glam, I guess would be the way we would describe it. But I think for Lisa's house, it's more emphasis on like glamorous florals. It's like lighter and brighter than a Vanderpump establishment.
While the aesthetic itself might not be for me, I love committing to the theme. And Nick Elaine and Lisa Vanderpump are nothing if not committed to their vision. And I fully respect that. It is crystal clear. It's a strong POV.
It's actual crystals too, in addition to being crystal clear. But it is, I love that this place is so Lisa. Like she, it's like you're going to this like fantasy tea party.
Yeah. As made evident by the, you know, 500 potted roses around the property and the swans that greet you and the, you know, ribbon swing that comes out of the like 100-year-old oak tree. It's fantastical. It's playful. It's charming. It is glamour. Miss Vanderpump said, give me roses, give me glitter, give me crystals, give me lacquer, give me glass, give me wall-to-wall carpet. Okay, so this is actually very important. Part of the reason why Villa Rosa is up there for me also is that Miss Vanderpump said, I'm doing wall-to-wall carpet and I'm not looking back. And I think huge trend for 2025, wall-to-wall carpet is coming back.
Whoa, hot take. That actually makes sense because I feel as if where COVID brought us like no longer doing hard pants and like brought in a more like baggy, looser clothing, it was only a matter of time that we wanted like more comfort on our feet as well in terms of like carpet in our homes.
100%. And here, let me just clarify. I don't believe the wall-to-wall carpet should exist throughout the residence, but as illustrated by Villa Rosa, a wall-to-wall carpet in a bedroom, a wall-to-wall carpet in a closet, a wall-to-wall carpet in even a secondary living room is, first of all, we took away carpet to put hardwood in, which is far less comfortable. And then once you have the hardwood, you need to like buy rugs.
Right.
So it's just way more cost effective to do the wall-to-wall carpet. And sure, you need to clean it. You need to maintain it so it's not like cleaned once, you know, every 10 mm-hmm. years. But that's luxury to me.
Yeah, it is luxury. It's diamonds, it's rosé, and it's luxury.
Period.
Yeah. Okay. I give it an A. It just has to be.
Again, I want to preface this by saying the furnishings wouldn't necessarily be my choice, but dissimilar from the Richard Encino home where everything felt kind of like a model home that wasn't necessarily true to like their own taste or reflective of their personality. It just felt like someone came in and staged it. Villa Rosa is through and through Lisa Vanderpump. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a true reflection of her taste, her personality, and it feels like her home. So even though it's not exactly 100% my taste, I respect the hell out of it. I'm giving it an A+.
Ooh, first A+ on the board. Mm-hmm. And now we've reached the end of the hall with no other than the lady who made it nice, Dorinda Medley's Bluestone Manor, which, by the way, because I just watched this episode because I've been in a Roni binge, mm-hmm. writer girl Carol Radziwill came up with the name of Bluestone Manor, which makes me love Carol even more.
She is so great.
But let's talk minus about this bedroom. Right, minus the bedroom. Okay, so Bluestone Manor, located in the Berkshires, was built in 1902. It's 11,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, Tudor style, ivy-covered home, 1900s wood paneling throughout. It's just, it looks like a storybook would be written, you know, take place there, let alone just the being the setting for just some really amazing Housewives content. Sure. It just, I think it stands out in terms of a Housewives property that you tell Dorinda just loves this place so much. It is so much a part of her. And then therefore I love it so much and it's a part of me. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. I think it's also worth pointing out that Bluestone Manor has its own website.
Oh, good.
So as far as iconic housewife homes go, if you don't have your own website, what are we even talking about? And so I'm surprised to hear that you love Bluestone Manor so much because it has a lot of the same characteristics as palatial Pasadena.
Well, there's a caveat. I hate how she designed the interior design that she did when she got a bit of Housewives fame and then did a interior upgrade. I am not a fan of, and I can tell you why.
Okay, so first you're consistent. All, you're consistent, I'm consistent on the interior.
Yeah. I know that she worked with Marshall Watson, who I went on his website and looked at. He's a stunning designer. I mean, he really has like this strong POV. Everything is like very luxe, very rich looking. My problem is when you're in this like beautiful 1902 Tudor style home, mm-hmm. I personally would like the interiors to match that. I don't think like a Missoni rug going up the stairs really fits the vibe. And also there's just like an extreme use of jewel tones that I also would not have picked. I would have gone a bit more like classic old English, but that's just me. But I think Dorinda is jewel tone couches and like the red bedroom that she, you know, exists in. That's very
100%. Yeah, you can certainly see Dorinda's influence, I think, as a designer. You look at this like stunning Tudor style home of the like Gilded Age and you expect a certain thing. And the furnishings, while more modern, are a bit loud for my taste as well. But I want to caveat that by saying maximalism, which is certainly what the decor of Bluestone Manor is one of the hardest design aesthetics to pull off. And I think Dorinda and Marshall did execute a great maximalist vision in Bluestone Manor. Again, it wouldn't necessarily be the thing or the color story that I would have chosen to have done with this property. But in the Missoni Runner is pretty tragic, I have to say. It's
that one upsets me. Yeah.
That's tough. I think Marshall must have lost his cool on that one because it's pretty egregious.
In terms of Housewives houses that I would just lose it if I was able to visit, this is the number one.
I agree. I totally get it. Is it still on Airbnb? Do we know?
No, the Airbnb was like a flash sale, like one and done partnership that she did with Airbnb. So hopefully they do it again and hopefully we can, you know, be blessed. So it's an A+ for me, Bluestone Manor. I love the lore. I love the fact that she was able to get a ultimate girls trip to come and stay there. Absolutely. I love that she like had hostess freak out, which I totally relate to. And like yeah. the responsibility of hosting everyone in her home cracked her. Like it all makes sense to me. So and relatable. I would just love to visit. So A plus.
There's nothing left to say. You've absolutely fully encompassed all that is Blue Stone Manor. And I'm going to go ahead and give it an A+ too. I can't give Villa Rosa an A+ and not give Bill Blue Stone Manor an A+. Blue Stone Manor is.
Yeah. I think.
Is American history, as we said.
Additionally, Villa Rosa also has a website. So I think the through line that we found is if it has a website, it's immediately an A+. And obviously we'll be linking that. Wow, we did it. We've hauled the most favorite housewives' houses.
There's so many houses we didn't even touch. I mean, do we even to even address Jenna Lyons? I feel like maybe we just say quickly, we of course recognize Jenna Lyons, newest member of RONI, stunning Soho apartment.
Yeah.
But we decided not to officially give her a ranking because she's somewhat unproven as a housewife. And
yeah, it's too fresh for me personally. So that might have to be at like a later date. But obviously her house is fantastic. And I think probably the best part of last season of RONI was seeing her apartment. I could have done without most of it.
Very quickly, if you had to say a favorite moment of Jenna's apartment, well, what is it for you?
Closet.
Closet. Okay. Mine is primary bathroom vanity.
Oh, specific.
custom vanity with Arabiscotto marble topper and like patinaed legs. Remarkable. So good. And I have to say, it's one of my favorite bathrooms I've ever seen, ever, regardless of housewife lore.
Okay, so that's a really strong note to end on. Sarah, thank you so much for lending your expertise to this haul. What a joy. You really are such an incredible informational source for all of us who have interest in the design world, who, you know, don't connect to HGTV and like AD feels more aspirational. It's like you're really filling that white space for those of us who are design curious or design aficionados, who I feel like I'm being spoken to with all the info that you give us on the internet. So thank you for that.
Thank you. That was very nice. And also exactly what I'm trying to do. So I'm glad that it's resonating. If you're like on your home decoration or home renovation journey and you feel like you need someone just to tell you what the fuck to do, that's what I'm trying to do.
And you guys can find her at Swike, S-W-I-K-E. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm your host, Elizabeth Cott. We will see you next week. And until then, stay niche. Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok at this_is_too_niche.